Psalm 23. Please give your attention to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are promised a blessing in the reading of God's word from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. My prayer this afternoon is that God would bless the reading, the hearing, and the application of His perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, we began this morning by looking at what we said was obviously the most well-known of all the Psalms. And as we dove into that statement, we also made another statement that this particular Psalm is the most well-known, but it's not the most understood of Psalms. And we looked at some of the ways that people tend to misunderstand Psalm 23. This very statement that we started with, the Lord is my shepherd, we recognize that we are speaking to a particular shepherd, that we are speaking of Yahweh, and so the divinity of Christ is proclaimed in the 23rd Psalm. But we also saw the fact that this is an intimate and personal psalm, so there's a covenantal nature of the 23rd Psalm. And this is very often overlooked by folks, and many will find comfort here who do not particularly follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is somewhat of an anomaly. The wording is so beautiful, it's so comforting. But this is a covenantal psalm. These blessings that we will read and study about for the next few weeks, these are blessings that come when we are following the shepherd, when we are in Christ, when we are in covenant. So this is something that we don't want to overlook in the 23rd Psalm. It's not a theoretical psalm. It's not some distant poem that we have to figure out what it means. It's intimate and personal, and it proclaims our connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one of the reasons why the 23rd Psalm is indeed so very comforting to so many Christians. Because as they are walking with Christ, they recognize the depth of the 23rd Psalm. It reminds us, it proclaims to us that Jesus is not far from us. He is bound to us. And that, my friends, is what we want to hear on that difficult time in life or on that dark day. We need to hear of our covenant bond with the Lord Jesus. Well, I want to continue forward with the second half of verse 1 and take in the full implications as much as we can in our limited time, of the statement that I shall not want. I shall not want. I often wonder, is this something we can say and truly mean what it says? What does it mean? And what is the depth of again, the second half of verse 1? We wanted to spend some time on this psalm to build a foundation of the knowledge of Christ, our shepherd. And again, we mentioned some of our connections with John 10. We've spent a number of weeks building, really, providentially, as we come to our Psalm of the Month, this month in the 23rd Psalm. If we are truly in covenant with the Lord Jesus, there is nothing that we lack in this world. That is the basic summary of what we're saying in the first verse. This is what we are proclaiming. I shall not want means I lack nothing. I will not lack anything. Luther says, I shall assuredly want nothing. There's a little emphasis there. I want to see in this passage then, Psalm 23 verse 1, it comes at the beginning for a reason. It comes at the beginning for a reason. That we want to see the great provision that our shepherd provides for us, and we want to see the confidence that we should have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is something, maybe this is why this psalm has been so, I mentioned this morning, so personally applicable to me in my life. I struggle with that. Maybe I have trust issues. I don't always, depend on the Lord like I should. I don't always keep that covenantal application in mind. That's something that doesn't come natural to me. I wasn't raised in that type of environment to think of that covenant bond. That was new later on, and I already had some pretty bad habits by the time that I was introduced to the covenant and the blessings that come from it. We want to see in our time this afternoon, first of all, the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we will also see then the sweetness of that provision as we close our time. Matthew Henry says, we notice here the great confidence which believers have in God. If the Lord is my shepherd, my feeder, I may conclude that I shall not want anything that is really necessary and good for me. That's a pretty good summary of what we're trying to say here in the first verse. He says, more is implied than is expressed. Not only, I shall not want, but I shall be supplied with whatever I need. And if I have not everything I desire, I may conclude it is either not fit for me or not good for me, or I shall have it in due time. Now, that pretty much sums up everything I think we need to think about this particular portion. What a great comment there in summary by Matthew Henry. If I don't have everything I desire, that I want, I may conclude that it is either not fit for me or not good for me. You know, the things that you desire are not always the things you need. This is the obvious application of the passage. I have to tell myself that kind of a thing every day. Just because I want something doesn't mean that I need it. It's one of those things that's really easy to tell our children, but it's really hard for us to get that into our minds. Everything, just because you want something doesn't mean that or you desire something doesn't mean it's something that you need. I want us to consider today that those who are in Christ lack nothing. Is that true? That's a pretty big statement, really, and that can consume our time this afternoon. If we are in Christ, do we really lack nothing? That's a hard thing to say, and I want us to spend some time really trying to justify that statement. We can say it, that we don't lack anything, but what are the implications of that? What are we saying then about our own lives? Or what are we saying about the times of persecution when we desire to be saved from persecution? Or we look back on the martyrs in history. Could they say that they lacked nothing? Could they say, I shall not want? Because they really needed to be saved from persecution. They really, or Christians that go through times of famine or war, can they really say, I shall not want? This is the challenge for you and I today, is to be able to understand what you really need from God's perspective, and to be able to say, I shall not want. I'm not sure that we can always say that with great honesty. Because we really, I might want a lot of things. So do we really say that Christ has provided for everything that we need? The first question that we ask is, do we act like we have everything we need? We know the answer to that. We spend a lot of our lives striving for things that we don't particularly need. And in fact, oftentimes, this is sort of the definition of 21st century life, right? That we want to get more than the guy next door, and we're always striving for that promotion, and we're trying to get a bigger house, and we're trying to get a better job. That's life for most folks. That's really all their life is about, is getting more stuff. It's just getting more stuff. We should be satisfied with what we have. Again, that's a big statement to make, but it's something that applies to our passage. We can be dissatisfied with what we have. We can undervalue or overlook the gifts that God has given to us, and we can neglect the gifts that we've been given. Those are the counter actions to what we're seeing in the 23rd Psalm in verse 1. Well, I have it printed for you here in your worship order, the 10th commandment. I'd like us to go through that, because this is very applicable to the 23rd Psalm. And follow along with me as we look at questions 146, 47, and 48. Question 146 asks, which is the 10th commandment? The 10th commandment is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Question 147, what are the duties required in the 10th commandment? I think we could probably ask another question, what are the duties required in the 23rd Psalm? 23:1 says, I shall not want. What are we required to do? Well, the duties required in the 10th commandment are such a full contentment with our own condition and such a charitable frame of the whole soul toward our neighbor as that all our inward motions and affections touching him tend unto and further all that good which is his. There's a lot there. There's a lot for us to unpack as we're understanding the 10th commandment. One more question. It asks, what are the sins forbidden in the 10th commandment? Sins forbidden in the 10th commandment are discontentment with our own estate, envying and grieving at the good of our neighbor, together with all inordinate motions and affections to anything that is his. Why do we have such a hard time with Psalm 23 and verse 1? Why is it so difficult to truly say, I shall not want? Well, a lot of the reason behind why that's so difficult is because we want other people's stuff. And we do. That's just something we should recognize that is within our hearts. We're not content. We want things that we are not supposed to have. And so we cannot then see the wisdom of the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23:1 says, I shall not want. I don't lack anything. That is really hard for us to wrap our brains around in the culture in which we live, when most of the signs and the billboards and ads and everything around us is always telling us that you lack everything. There are people, that's their job to convince you don't have something that you don't need. That's what they do. And they're good at it. You know, you see a commercial for some drink or something, and it's all of a sudden, that's what I want. We're talking about bigger things here, but the great tragedy is, as we look at Psalm 23:1, is to see how sad it is that we're often looking around for fulfillment in the world. That's what lost people do. That's what pagans do. Why do Christians swim in that same dangerous water? Why do we do that? That's the question. And I think Psalm 23:1 is helping us to get out of that and to see the problem that's there. Everything that we need is given in Christ. That's the principle of the 23rd Psalm. Everything that we need is given in Christ. And most of the time, I think this is the sad thing to observe, is we're constantly seeking after fulfillment in the same way that the world does. Why then do those who know Christ, why do they live lives that are so empty and unfulfilled? Doesn't Psalm 23:1 says, doesn't it say, I shall not want? And that's the difficult step to make. And then I want us to look at the provisions that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon to see that we truly do have everything that we need. Now, we're going to do this over a couple of weeks, and so I don't mean today to, I sort of mean to, but I don't want you to forget. We're going to talk about physical provisions here today. Next week, we're going to look at the spiritual provisions that Christ gives to us. So we're not trying to neglect that. But let's look at the physical provisions that are provided by Christ. The shepherd, in our passage, he cares for the physical needs of his sheep. Listen to a couple of these passages. Write these in your notes. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Now, that's a strange thing to say, really, because in that 40-year wilderness period, they had no particular place to live, and you know there were all kinds of things happening, and can God really say that they didn't lack anything? You see, that's understanding need and famine and war and things that are difficult from God's perspective. God says we don't lack anything. Another passage is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 6 through 10. This is most interesting to hear. Deuteronomy 8. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water. Now remember, these are physical provisions. A land of brooks of water, of fountains, of springs that flow out of the valleys and the hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, and in which you will lack nothing. You will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Isn't this interesting in this passage where God says, I've given you everything you need. And it's an application to the spiritual needs we'll look at later. But what if you needed some copper? You've got to dig it up, don't you? I mean, there's a process here. The copper's buried under the ground in this particular example. But God says, I gave you plenty of copper. And when we come to the physical blessings, one of the spiritual blessings, one of the points that we're going to make later on is that God has given us every spiritual blessing displayed in the means of grace, and yet we neglect the means of grace. You see, we don't try to draw out those blessings that they've been given. And so we go around and we say, well, I don't have what I need. I don't have enough, or I feel this, or I feel that. We're not seeing that we have been given everything we need. That's what Psalm 23:1 says. We don't lack anything. Psalm 34 says, O taste in verse 10, or beginning with verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. This is not something unique to the 23rd Psalm. This principle is many times in the Word. Verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The King James Version on that says, I shall not want any good thing. Same language as we're reading in the 23rd Psalm. Matthew 6 is a familiar passage, beginning with verse 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all those things the Gentiles seek. Oh, that's kind of the application we're making in the 23rd Psalm, right? If we aren't following God, we are seeking after things in the worldly way. That's what we read in Matthew 6. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You see, this verse is connected with the 23rd Psalm. When we read that we don't lack anything, we cannot arise in the morning and go about our business and neglect God and don't care about anything that God says, and get to the end of the day and be able to say, you know, the 23rd Psalm or sing it. I don't lack anything. Of course you're going to be lacking things because you're neglecting things that you should be doing. The shepherd gives very good gifts to us. We read this in the 23rd Psalm. We have to ask then, are the gifts from God good gifts? Of course they're good gifts. Well, do those gifts lack anything? What the shepherd gives to us, is it empty? Is it half as much as what we need? Is it misapplied? Is it misdirected? But we're the ones who misunderstand the purpose of things. Christ gives all we need. Christ gives everything we need. Is our God cheating us from some gain that we deserve? Our conclusion has to be with the 23rd Psalm, that Christ gives us everything we need. Not only does He give it, He gives it exactly when we need it, which is something we struggle with. We want it now, when the blessing or the provision is supposed to come at a certain time later. We also should see that Christ gives it to us how we need it. That's another thing we struggle with, is the manner of delivery. The way that it comes to us is something that we struggle with. Our great temptation, and this is where we stumble in our Christian walk, is to judge these gifts by our limited understanding. Sometimes we think we don't have enough, or we think that our provision was given later than we would have liked it. But what we should see from the Word of God is that in this example of the 23rd Psalm, we're the sheep. Sheep don't know anything. They know nothing. We don't know what we need. We don't know when we need it. And we don't know how we need it. And yet we complain about the things we've been given, when we've been given them, and how we've been given them. The great challenge that is here before us today is to see that the 23rd Psalm should humble us. You see that pride is at the root of our complaining about the providence of God? That's pride. It's pride. Psalm 23:1 humbles us. It puts us in our place and it stops our mouth. We can't complain if we don't know what we're even complaining about. And I would suggest to you, and this is my struggle I'm sharing with you today, is to redefine what your needs are. What do you need in life? Sometimes we get confused, and obvious confusion is the things we want are the things we think we need. We should see that our wants and the gifts that we have, we should see all of that from Christ's perspective. Maybe if we saw things from the perspective of the shepherd, we wouldn't want the things we want. We would want new things. And when we begin to want new things, shepherd things, we'll see that our wants were distorted. We want to change them to be what Christ wants, and so then we can say, I shall not want. And I think this is a very difficult thing to do, but it's the opposite of a humanistic view. A humanistic, worldly view is to look at the world from my perspective and what I need and what I want. But to look at it from Christ's perspective is to totally change that natural tendency. The shepherd is giving the gifts. We'll look at the gifts and the wants from his perspective. A.W. Pink talks some about this. He says, here is the fundamental difference between the man of faith and the man of unbelief. The unbeliever is of the world, judges everything by worldly standards, views life from the standpoint of time and sense, and weighs everything in the balances of his own carnal making. But the man of faith brings in God, looks at everything from his standpoint, estimates values by spiritual standards, and views life in the light of eternity. Doing this, he receives whatever comes as it is from the hand of God. Doing this, his heart is calm in the midst of the storm. Doing this, he rejoices in hope of the glory of God. I think it's a pretty good summary there by Pink. And just very simply put, accept what God gives. Accept what God gives, because that is what you need. If He hasn't given it, you don't need it. Or maybe it's not time yet. Accept what God gives. This is something that you have to practice with. This psalm is not only very personal, it's very practical. There's a lot of practice that's involved here with knowing that when something comes to you, when something is given to you, be wise enough to know that there are times when God will intentionally keep something from you that you believe that you need. And we understand this in the Confession of Faith. We're going to look at chapter 5, which talks about when God withholds things from us. The Confession of Faith, chapter 5, says, The most wise, righteous, and gracious God oftentimes doth leave for a season His own children to manifold temptations and the corruptions of their own hearts, to chastise them for their former sins, or to discover unto them the hidden strength of corruption and deceitfulness of their hearts, that they may be humbled, that's kind of what we're getting at with the 23rd Psalm, and to raise them to a more close and constant dependence for their support upon Himself. That's another of the themes of the 23rd Psalm. It's to walk with the shepherd. And as we mentioned this morning, that shepherd will go through the valley of the shadow of death, a place that none of us want to go. But we have to be with the shepherd where He leads us. And so that is one of the reasons why it may seem at times like we don't have food, or we don't have a payment that we need to make, or we don't have a particular thing that we believe we need. It's because God makes us go through these difficult times. It isn't because we lack anything. It's because it is not time for the shepherd to give it. And that's a very, again, difficult thing to wrap our thoughts around. Listen to this passage from Hebrews chapter 11, and let's ask how these particular Christians in verses 36 through 38 could have sung the 23rd Psalm. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. They were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented. Can these people say, I shall not want? Well, they certainly can, because if they are in Christ, they do not lack anything that they need. It is because there are times when we will go through persecution. That doesn't mean that the shepherd is fallen down on the job. It doesn't mean that Jesus is bad at giving us what we need. It means that we don't need it. What are our physical needs today? Our physical needs are exactly what God has given us to survive. We get so used to particular comforts and excesses that we have things we like. And there's nothing wrong with those things. It's just that we begin to reinterpret what we need by excess and by comfort. If we're not careful, we fall into that trap where the world falls into, where it thinks that it needs the newest car or the fastest car or the biggest house on the block. And it's missing the point of the 23rd Psalm. Often our thinking in the 23rd Psalm is distant to us because we're too worldly. And there's really no easier way to say it. And I say that to myself. We're so worldly, we don't see that this may be a time when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to require me to go through a period of famine or a period of sorrow. Does it mean He's a bad shepherd? It means we're bad sheep. That's the problem. And I want to encourage you in your study of the 23rd Psalm to not lay the blame at the feet of the shepherd, but to recognize that we are so often the problem in that equation. Now, we're going to make this application, I said, next week with the spiritual needs of Christ. And I don't have time to develop that, but I want you to know that Christ is also aware of our spiritual needs. You know, He knows we're born in sin. He knows we're lost. And we have to have a mediator. So He fully saves us. And He fully obeys the law on our behalf. And He gives us that obedience. All of that is all perfect and orderly. We're the ones who struggle with thinking that our spiritual needs are not being met. But they are. We're just, again, not very good sheep when it comes to following after what Christ has done. I want to encourage you today, if that's a struggle that you have, to recognize that Christ has not only met all of your physical needs, which is our focus today, but He's also met your spiritual needs. Don't neglect those. And if you are in this world and you are apart from Christ, you will always be needy because you don't have what you need. And this is an encouragement in our psalm that we saw this morning to recognize the two groups. One falls on one side and one on the other. Some are Christ's sheep and some are not. And if you are not living your life and following after the Lord Jesus Christ, I would urge you today to seek the Lord Jesus Christ while He may be found. Because there is only hope and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close our time by looking at the sweetness of Christ's provision to us. Not only does He give us everything that we need in this world, it's a sweet gift. And see, we can come to the point to where we recognize that Christ has given us everything we need, but we cannot like it. You see that those are two different things? You can have everything you need and know it and be upset about it. Well, there's another step in our psalm. It is to recognize that what Christ has given is sweet and precious. And so there's a challenge to us here. We come to times of trial, times of sorrow, and times of suffering. Can we say that what Christ has given is sweet? Even if we have to suffer? Even if we have to do without? Psalm 23:1 teaches us that. I shall not want. But there's a lot to see with that, and there's a lot to make application. Christ gives us all that we need. He calls us to contentment and to wisdom to see that His gifts are sweet. We've looked at some hard applications. One way to see these hard applications, again, if someone is suffering or in need, or we're in, they think that they have something that's lacking in their life, listen to Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. This is a familiar story. We all know this story. For some reason, this is often a kid's story. I'm not really sure why, but people being torn apart by lions doesn't sound like a kid's story, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we tend to take those Daniel in the lion's den and the fiery furnace, and we turn those into children's stories for some reason. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. Now it's verse 18 that we want to focus on in our example from Daniel 3. We see, He will deliver us from your hand, O king, but if not, it's the but if not, that's the part that's hard to live with. Let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. You see, we pray for deliverance. We pray for being rescued, but there are times when we'll be a part of that Hebrews passage where we're torn apart or sawed asunder or thrown into the furnace. Does that mean that the shepherd has failed? It doesn't mean that. And that's what I'd like you to see from the 23rd Psalm, is that even under persecution, we can say, I shall not want. It takes some time to get to that place. I'm not sure that I'm there. And it's the reason, again, that the 23rd Psalm is so special to me, because it challenges me and it helps me to see that I am discontented, that I am a person who is covetous and desiring things that I shouldn't have. A statement in the Confession of Faith that we looked at said that sometimes God leaves us to raise them to a more close and constant dependence for their support upon Himself. Do we see trials like that? maybe doing without is a way for Christ to draw us closer to Himself. There's a struggle. The desperation that we often feel, it's our desperation. It's not God's desperation. It's not the shepherd's desperation. There's a perfect plan. And the Psalm 23:1 reminds us that that perfect plan is in place. The challenge for you and I is to see, and to come to terms with that perfect plan. The providence of God will often mean difficult times for us. John Calvin says, "Although, therefore, we have abundance of all temporal and good things, yet let us be assured that we cannot be truly happy unless God vouchsafe to reckon us among the number of His flock. Besides, we then only attribute to God the office of a shepherd with due and rightful honor when we are persuaded that His providence alone is sufficient to supply all our necessities. As those who enjoy the great abundance of outward good things are empty and famished if God is not their shepherd, so it is beyond all doubt that those whom He has taken under His charge shall not want a full assurance and abundance of all good things. David therefore declares that he is not afraid of wanting anything because God is his shepherd." That's the connection that we close with today, is that this is not something we can say if Christ is apart from us. We can only understand Psalm 23:1 if we are in Christ. Only those who are Christ's sheep can truly say that we have no unmet needs. We're the only people that can say that. And that's why this psalm is so special to us. What Christ has given to us, my friends, today we lack nothing. We'll never be in want. We can never claim that Christ has cheated us or that we were shorted from something that we deserved. And in our lifetimes, we can never fathom the perfection and the fulfillment of Christ. But we have all eternity for that. One of the blessings of the 23rd Psalm is we should start now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to be content. We don't have to wait until heaven to follow the shepherd and obey his voice. Ultimately, my friends, it is Christ who says, "I shall not want." Because in Christ, all is present. He owns all. He has received all authority. He has been granted all things by His work upon the cross. And so there's a play into the mediatorial kingship of Christ as well in our psalm. And I would encourage you today to truly see that you are lacking nothing in Christ. We lack nothing in Him. Let's stand together and pray. Father in heaven, grant that our vision might be more clear in seeing your perfect provision for us. Help us to rest completely upon Christ our shepherd and to know that he has never fallen short in caring for us. He has never fallen short in giving us what we need physically or spiritually. And we pray that you would help us to be more thankful for what Christ grants, and to see it as truly precious. In His name we pray. Amen.